Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram weekend edition for Saturday, September 14th, 2024. Midland Air Park to undergo $46.8 million in upgrades, including runway rehab and new hangars. While the City of Midland will be putting a lot of effort into improving Midland International Air and Spaceport, its sister airport is also slated to see major upgrades. Quote, "There's lots of stuff going on at Midland Air Park," end quote, Airports Director Justine Ruff told the Reporter Telegram this week. On Tuesday, she presented a capital plan for Air Park that includes a pair of eight-figure marquee projects. The largest is $23 million to rehabilitate most of the pavement. Quote, "Our runways have taken a beating in the last several years because there's a lot more activity and the planes have gotten larger and heavier," end quote, Ruff said. This project will be funded with a 90-10 grant, whereby 90% is funded by the FAA and 10% is funded by the airport. Pilots will soon be alerted to a rarity in the airport's industry: the uncoupling of runways. Air Park has two runways and they join in a T-shape. Heading east-west and tracking along Loop 250 is 7/25, named for the number markers at each end of the runway. The north-south runway is 16/36. Quote, "We're going to remove a portion of the pavement that connects these two runways," end quote, Ruff said. Quote, "Pilots who land on 34 sometimes mistakenly get onto 7/25 instead of the taxiway, which is dangerous," end quote. With more activity has come the demand for more hangars, so the airport will oblige through a $16 million project. Quote, "We will build the infrastructure for the project, which includes the aprons and taxiways leading to the hangars," end quote, Ruff said. Quote, "Customers can then lease the land from us and build their own hangars. When the lease is up, it becomes the property of the City of Midland. The FAA says that the maximum term for a lease is 40 years, end quote. Ruff added that there's, quote, "quite a bit of room," end quote, for new hangars at Air Park. Quote, "They'll be built along A Street, and we have enough space for 20 to 30 hangars, depending on size. There are currently 103 airplanes at Air Park, plus a Department of Public Safety helicopter." Quote, "That's about how many planes we currently have at Midland International Air and Spaceport," end quote, Ruff said. The hangars project will be paid for through the airport fund, as will construction of a second entrance along A Street, which will tally about $3 million. Fueling up is also slated to become easier when a self-service fuel facility is built, which will be paid for with $1 million from the airport fund. In total, Midland Air Park is estimated to receive $46.8 million in improvements in the coming years. Key BPA panel discusses next steps in produced water management. While all major oil and gas producing basins have produced water, none deal with the volumes of water seen in the Permian Basin. What to do with those volumes has become even more challenging as oil and natural gas production has climbed to record highs, generating even more water to be managed. Intensifying those challenges has been the rise in seismic activity due to water injection, and efforts to limit seismicity has limited disposal options. Still, the three experts discussing produced water agree research and technological advancements in treating, recycling, and reusing produced water have the industry on the cusp of addressing the challenges. Quote, "We have chased every possible use for that water," end quote, Robert Crane, Executive Vice President at Texas Pacific Water Resources, said during the panel discussion at the Permian Basin Petroleum Association's annual meeting this week. Quote, "We have to find a technology that makes treatment and reuse economic," end quote. He added that any technology needs to have a commercial component and needs to be comparative to other uses, such as disposal. "Distilling produced water has been looked at and done in the nation's oil fields for years," noted Rick McCurdy, Vice President, Innovation and Sustainability at Select Energy. He went on to point out that until just several years ago, producers were convinced only fresh water could be used to hydraulically fracture wells before realizing treated produced water was just as effective. Anything to reduce the use of fresh water and have it available for residents is important, he said. Whitney Dobson, Chief Operating Officer at Infinity Water Solutions, observed there are two paths as the industry seeks to move towards beneficial reuse of produced water, something she described as a very broad term. Quote, we need to bring in industries with a higher price point, or we need to pipe it to areas that need water, end quote, she said. Dobson noted there are Permian Basin regions studying ways to bring in agriculture or industrial companies that could purchase that produced water. Quote, now we're ready for that next step. But we need guidelines on standards for irrigation use and discharge, end quote, said McCurdy. Quote, the ball is rolling and it's rolling in the right direction, end quote. He said state agencies have been working with the industry not only on easing regulations to allow recycling of water, but in taking steps to develop those guidelines. And federal agencies are also beginning to join the effort. Crane said the industry now needs to begin pivoting from pilot programs to field-scale projects and also needs that framework as it increases capacity. Advancements in instrumentation for analysis has the industry on the cusp of being able to say it is the point there are only a handful of constituents in produced water, and it knows what is in that water, said McCurdy. And in the time it takes for the industry to move forward on field-scale pilot programs, instrumentation will have reached that point, he said. Dobson said not only does the industry need to find ways to put recycling on an economic parity with disposal, it needs to get the public comfortable with the idea of reusing treated water, similar to how municipalities treat their water. And landowners need to be informed about just what water the industry is taking, she added. Spotlight on retail theft prevention. Comptroller discusses efforts to thwart shoplifters. Texas Comptroller Glenn Hagar visited the Walmart Supercenter in South Midland on Thursday to spotlight prevention efforts by his agency and members of the Organized Retail Theft Task Force to combat organized retail theft. The press conference was held in the entryway of the produce section. Hagar discussed the issue of organized retail crime in Texas, highlighting the formation of a task force involving retailers and law enforcement to address the problem. In 2023, the Texas legislature tasked Hagar with appointing members to the task force to study and make recommendations for preventing organized retail theft in Texas. Hagar serves as the lead administrator of this task force, which meets quarterly and plans to publish a report for the Texas legislature by December 2024. Quote, Walmart has been a good partner, end quote, Hagar said during an interview with the Reporter Telegram. Quote, they have been working with us. The state legislature asked my team and the controller's office to do a task force to try to identify what is the amount of organized retail crime that exists in the state, where the areas that are involved, and essentially what we can do at the state level to try to assist reducing that in the state of Texas, end quote. Thus far, the task force has identified high-value items that are targeted, such as beauty supplies, computer equipment, and electronics, while also noting that organized crime occurs year-round. Quote, a lot of it ends up being in the hygiene beauty supply area because these small items are high value and they can resell those quickly, end quote, Hagar said. Additionally, he said the task force, a combination of retailers and law enforcement, has been conducting meetings over the last year. Quote, we have put our report together and we are going to try to endorse that report at the next meeting, end quote, Hagar said. From there, Hagar hopes that eventually legislation will be passed to try to help eliminate the presence of organized retail theft within the state. Hagar emphasized the need for enhanced penalties, better prosecution, and increased resources at the state and local levels. Quote, we need to essentially make sure that, one, we are providing more resources at the state level and the local level, end quote, Hagar explained. Quote, that we are being a good partner to our retail partners in the state, and protecting consumers and those employees that are working in the store. Because of these crimes, we need to redefine the law to make it enhance where they, criminals, can go and show that you are not just going to stay a day in jail. You are going to have real consequences, end quote. Hagar said one of the key facets of organized retail crime is that criminals operate 365 days a year. quote, it does not matter whether it's the holidays, whether it's the weekend, night, or daytime, end quote, he said. Quote, they are very targeted. They hit a community and then move to the next community because they're trying to move through, end quote. For the financial impact of organized retail crime, Hagar was unable to give a precise dollar amount as to what retail stores are losing. However, he did say that the financial loss includes lost sales tax revenue and increased government costs. Quote, you were talking about tens of millions of dollars that are lost in the stores, as well as the revenues that you and I as taxpayers have to make up to fund the government because those revenues are lost, end quote, he explained. Quote, you and I, when we go buy an item, we pay sales tax and we are paying our fair share. But these criminals, they are getting around that. And so not only are they costing us higher prices, potentially in the stores, they are costing us more in government services and threatening our communities, end quote. To combat this issue, Walmart is enhancing its security measures, including surveillance and personnel at store entrances. The company is also emphasizing partnerships with law enforcement and community leaders to prevent theft without inconveniencing customers. Nathan Smith, senior counsel for organized retail crime at Walmart, said that the trends that stores see include items that are easily removable and resellable. Quote, infant formula is a huge item, as are personal care items such as razor blades or big items such as electronics. But really, a lot of things we see are things that are very easy to remove and then easy to resell, end quote, he said during an interview Thursday. Quote, the balancing act for Walmart is always to make sure that we provide the best and safest shopping experience for our customers, while at the same time preventing the theft that creates a problem for that, end quote, he explained. Quote, really, I think what I'm excited about the comptroller being here today is that one of the most important things for us is building effective partnerships with law enforcement and community leaders so we can get the support we need without creating sort of the difficulty for customers accessing items, end quote. According to Smith, Walmart has heavily invested in its asset protection at every store and has investigators all over the country. Quote, so we put a lot of effort into technology and personnel to combat this problem. And so we want to make sure that we are not a burden on law enforcement, that we are doing our part to combat this. But clearly, those partnerships are critical. People have to have the understanding that, hey, look, if I commit a crime at Walmart or Target or wherever, today, there's going to be consequences to that. And so that's why these partnerships are critical. And the efforts in the next session are going to be important, end quote. City plans $38 million expansion at MAF to reduce wait times. The City of Midland alerted the public Thursday afternoon to give themselves, quote, extra time, end quote, when planning to fly out of Midland International Air and Spaceport because of a TSA equipment outage. The problem was fixed by Friday afternoon, but it's perhaps a sign that upgrades at MAF are needed. It turns out help is on the way. At its meeting Tuesday, City Council heard a presentation from Airports Director Justine Ruff about capital projects that are coming to the airport, commonly referred to by its airport code, MAF. Among the marquee projects is the relocation and modernization of the TSA checkpoint. Quote, TSA requested about a year ago that another lane be added, end quote, Ruff told the Reporter Telegram after the meeting. Quote, the equipment they're currently using is too big, plus we're seeing more flights and more people flying, end quote. This is creating a lack of space, sometimes leading to hours-long wait times to pass through TSA, particularly on holiday and long weekends, Ruff said. The city is competing for grants to cover the projected $38 million cost to relocate the passenger screening area to a new area to be constructed on the south side of the terminal building. Quote, a lot of our projects are grant eligible, and the grants we do get are 90-10 grants, meaning they will pay 90% of the cost and we'll pay 10%, end quote, Ruff said. The terminal building will be extended to where the flagpoles are now. When it's done, there will be three screening lanes, including a dedicated pre-check lane, with the option to increase to four lanes. The project is currently in the design phase. Completion is anticipated sometime in 2026. Ruff told council members that this and other projects won't result in a property tax increase. rig count posts largest increase in a year. Drilling activity saw its biggest surge in a year as the rig count rose for the first time in 5 weeks. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday its U.S. rig count surged 8 rigs, the biggest weekly rise since September 15, 2023, to 590 rigs, the highest since mid-June. Still, the company said the rig count is 51 rigs, or 8% below the 641 reported last September. The number of rigs drilling crude oil jumped 5 rigs to 488 rigs, 27 fewer than the 515 drilling for oil last year. The number of rigs seeking natural gas rose by 3 to 97, still down 24 rigs from 121 drilling for natural gas a year ago. Texas continued to remain unchanged with 274 rigs at work across the state, down 43 rigs from 317 last year. New Mexico continued its gains, adding a rig for 107 rigs at work in the state. Louisiana 3, Oklahoma 3, West Virginia 2, and Wyoming 3 joined New Mexico as producing states to see a gain. California 2 and Pennsylvania 2 were producing states to see a decline. Like Texas, the Permian Basin was unchanged at 306 rigs, down 16 from 322 last year. Lee County, New Mexico remains the most active county in the Permian, reporting 53 rigs for a second week. Eddy County, New Mexico added a rig to have 50 rigs for the week. Martin County saw 32 rigs for a second week, and Reeves County reported 29 rigs for a second week. Midland County was unchanged at 23 rigs, while Loving County fell 1 rig to 19. Reagan and Upton counties each reported 14 rigs for the week. Energy Dedicated, software as a service firm in Veris, said its U.S. rig count for the week ended September 6th fell 2 rigs to 628 and is down 57 rigs, or 8%, from 685 a year ago. The number of rigs drilling for crude was down 3 rigs to 190 and is down 219 rigs, or 54%, from 409 a year earlier. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas was down 1 to 92 rigs. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas is down 73 rigs, or 44%, from 165 the previous September. ExxonMobil remains atop the list of 10 most active operators by rig count with 39 rigs, down 1 for the week. ConocoPhillips was unchanged at 30, and EOG Resources was unchanged at 25 rigs. Enverus said its Permian Basin rig count for the week ended September 6th, fell by 4 rigs to 301, and is down 30 rigs, or 9%, from 331 last year. The most active play, the Delaware Basin, rose by 3 rigs to 170 for the week, but is down 11 rigs, or 6%, from 181 last year. The Midland Basin was unchanged with 114 rigs, down 7 rigs, or 6%, from 121 last year. Looking at trailing 30-day permits, Enverus said the Permian Basin had 845 as of the week ended August 23rd, up from 786 the previous week and 702 a year earlier. Enverus said there were 124 frac crews at work in the Permian Basin as of the week ended August 23rd, up from 109 the previous week and 120 a year ago. Midland sees second highest sales tax collection ever. 2024-25 sales tax collections were $2.098 million higher than budgeted. Midland almost set a new record for sales tax collections this fiscal year, but it will still go down as the second highest ever. The city collected $67.098 million in sales tax for fiscal year 2024-25, a decrease of 1.86% from the all-time high of $68.396 million set in 2023, according to a city news release. However, the tally is $2.098 million higher than what was budgeted for. Quote, comparing August 2024 YTD to August 2023 YTD, wholesale and manufacturing saw a decrease, both of these being predominantly oil-related industries, end quote, the city said.
quote, all other industries such as retail, hotel, food, service, and construction saw increases in sales tax contributions when comparing August 2024 YTD to August 2023 YTD, end quote. The Texas Comptroller reports sales tax revenue about 2 months lagging. Thus, July collections, which tallied $5.19 million, were reported partway through September, the final month of the city's fiscal year, which ends September 30th. The new fiscal year begins October 1st. Midland Development Corp., more commonly known as the MDC, collected $1.3 million in sales tax in July, bringing its fiscal year total to $16.7 million, the city said. Sales tax within the city is 8.25%, the maximum allowed by the state of Texas. A half cent is split between the Type A sales tax, which funds the MDC, and the Type B sales tax, which goes toward Midland Memorial Hospital. It's broken down as follows. State, 6.25%, City, 1%, County, 0.5%, Type A, MDC, 0.25%, Type B, MMH, 0.25%. Oil prices rebound from last week's 8% plunge. Hurricane Francine, barreling through the Gulf of Mexico and removing offshore oil supply from the markets, helped oil prices rebound from last week's 8% plunge and break a four-week losing streak. West Texas Intermediate rose 3 of 5 trading days on the New York Mercantile Exchange, opening the trading week with a $1.04 gain. Prices then lost $2.96 Tuesday, but overcome that decline by rising $1.56 Wednesday and $1.66 Thursday to near $70 a barrel. Prices dipped 32 cents Friday to end the week at $68.65, up from $67.67 at last Friday's close. The posted price closed at $65.13, according to Plains All American. Natural gas futures likewise rose 3 of 5 trading days on the NYMEX, opening the trading week by plunging 10.5 cents, then hopping onto an upward track that culminated in a 9.4 cent jump Thursday. Prices retreated 6 cents to end at $2.297 per MCF, up from $2.266 at last Friday's close. Quote, there are two concepts in economics that simply won't go away, end quote, said energy economist Carr Ingham, president of the Texas Alliance of Energy Producers. Quote, one is supply and one is demand, end quote. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram, Ingham said the market perceives it is amply supplied with crude oil, especially in light of continued production increases in the U.S., led by the Permian Basin. Outside of the U.S., he said the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and allied nations like Russia are also having discussions about when, not if, to restore some of their production cuts. Quote, again, it should be a point of pride for the U.S. and for the Permian Basin that U.S. production has done what it does, end quote, especially in light of an approximate 20% decline in the U.S. rig count and 15% drop in the Permian Basin. Quote, OPEC always hopes to see a dramatic decline in the rig count lead to any decline in U.S. production, end quote, he noted. Quote, they hope to outlast or overwhelm U.S. shale production. They've been fighting that battle since about 2014, end quote. Weighing on prices has been ongoing concerns the U.S. is headed for an economic recession, he said. Though the U.S. economy is still growing, the pace has slowed. And there is concern about China's economy, if its economy is growing, how fast its economy is growing, and the impact on Chinese oil demand. Rising supply and weakening demand are bearish factors near term, he said, pointing out that markets can change and sometimes change quickly. Quote, the broad expectation is if the world returns to solid, steady economic growth, it could be an undersupplied market. I suspect that to be the case, but not at this moment, end quote, he said. Ingham went on to note that the Permian Basin is a unique case in terms of natural gas prices. The Permian Basin is overwhelmed by the amount of natural gas produced in association with crude, he said, and that lowers the effective price of crude oil. As an example, he said, if Permian Basin natural gas was negative $1 per MCF for a month, that would be the equivalent of lowering the oil price $4.80 per barrel. The Energy Information Administration estimates natural gas prices at the Waha Hub in Reeves County have been below zero for 46% of trading days this year, including every day since July 26th. Still, Ingham said, the steady, stable increase in Permian Basin and U.S. crude has provided a solid, fantastic outcome for consumers in the form of lower gasoline and other energy costs. ECISD student arrested for shooter threat hoax. Nimitz Middle School was on lockdown for about 30 minutes Friday afternoon. Odessa. An Ector County ISD student is facing a felony charge after creating a hoax about a shooter inside a school. A student at Nimitz Middle School was arrested late Friday afternoon and charged with making a false report, according to an ECISD press release. Police allege that the seventh grade boy shouted the threat of someone with a gun during lunch, which caused a panic. The school was immediately sent into lockdown status. During a lockdown, people are moved from hallways and other spaces to a secure area, such as a classroom. The doors are locked, the lights are turned out, everyone moves away from sight and maintains silence. Occupants do not open the door and they prepare to evade or defend themselves if necessary. The lockdown early Friday afternoon lasted about 30 minutes, the district said. The student fled from campus but was located and arrested. Multiple law enforcement agencies responded within minutes and the campus was swept. No evidence of a shooter or weapon were found, ECISD said. Quote, Ector County ISD leaders are thankful for the support of all local law enforcement who came together in response to this emergency, end quote, the release said. Quote, their joint effort led to the quick and safe resolution of this situation. The district is also deeply grateful to the Nimitz parents who remained calm throughout the incident and then patiently waited to get their children after the lockdown was released, end quote. Midland firefighter injured in blaze caused by welders. A Midland firefighter was injured following a blaze which appeared to be caused by welders within the area. According to the city press statement, the Midland Fire Department responded to a fire around 3:32 p.m. Friday in the 3700 block of West County Road 104. Quote, according to the Midland County Fire Marshal, it appears the fire was started by welders, end quote, MFD said. Firefighters said large railroad ties and tires caught on fire, which was a source of the blaze. MFD also reported that Greenwood and Northeast Volunteer Fire Departments assisted with fire operations. The Midland firefighter who was injured was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. No other additional information was released regarding the incident. Life Tributes. Stevens Tucker Harper, 1-5-1949 to 9-4-2024. Stevens Tucker Harper passed away Wednesday, September 4th, 2024, surrounded by his family. Steve was born in Austin on January 5th, 1949, to Barbara and Tom Harper, Jr. Steve is survived by his wife of 51 years, Eleanor Harper, his daughter Rebecca Renault, and her husband Dave, along with their children, Arden and Connor of Dallas. His son Scott Harper and his wife Jessica, along with their children Anna Claire and Dawson of Midland. His brother Thomas Harper III of Houston, along with many nieces and nephews. Friends are invited to a memorial service celebrating Steve's life with the family at 10 a.m. on Friday, September 27th, in the chapel of First Baptist Church, 2104 West Louisiana Avenue in Midland. A reception will follow in the nearby chapel foyer. In lieu of flowers, donations in honor of Steve may be directed to the Redeemer Church of Midland at P.O. Box 8333, Midland, Texas, 79708, or online at redeemermidland.org, and Save Muni Golf Course in Austin online at themuniconservancy.com/donate. Jerry Vosberg, 1-18-1933 to 9-9-2024. We invite you to join our family as we celebrate the life of Jerry Vosberg on Saturday, September 21st, 2024 at 2:00 p.m. at Golf Course Road Church of Christ, Midland, Texas. A short reception will be held in the gathering space at the church. Please join us as we honor the memories and cherish the moments we shared together. Patricia A. Lucas. Patricia A. Lucas, 75, of Midland, died on September 9, 2024, in Midland, Texas. A viewing will be held on Monday, September 16, 2024, from 5 to 8 at American Heritage Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held on Tuesday, September 17, 2024, 11 o'clock a.m., at American Heritage Funeral Home. Burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. Oil Report. Apache divests $950 million in Permian properties. Ending weeks of speculation, APA Corp., parent of Apache Corporation, this week agreed to sell non-core Permian properties to an undisclosed buyer for $950 million. The producing properties are located in the Central Basin Platform, Texas, and New Mexico Shelf and Northwest Shelf, and currently represent estimated net production of 21,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, of which approximately 57% is oil. Proceeds from this sale will be used primarily to reduce debt. The deal is expected to close in the fourth quarter. Quote, we actively manage our portfolio. You've seen us do multiple deals recently, including the Callon acquisition this year, and targeted divestments of non-core properties, end quote, a spokesperson for Apache told the Reporter Telegram by email. They added, quote, we remain committed to oil and gas and seek a diversified and balanced portfolio with scale, end quote. Quote, through multiple transactions completed this year, we have high-graded and focused our U.S. asset base. Our remaining Permian position has scale and balance in the unconventional Midland and Delaware basins, end quote, said John J. Christman IV, chief executive officer of APA Corporation, in announcing the agreement. Quote, the net impact of our acquisition of Callon Petroleum and the follow-on asset sales is that APA has increased its onshore U.S. production by approximately 66,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day in 2024 and continued to add economic unconventional inventory with no material change in net debt levels compared to year-end 2023, end quote. Pro forma fourth quarter U.S. production guidance is 307,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, which is 34% above the company's fourth quarter 2023 production, the company said. Christman continued, quote, the company's more focused unconventional Permian asset base and advantageous transport and marketing positions compares favorably with like-sized pure-play peers in the region, while APA's conventional global portfolio also provides geographic and price diversification, as well as differential exploration upside, end quote. Jacam Catalyst expands HQ in Gardendale. Oil and natural gas production in the Permian Basin continues to climb, and a number of service providers are growing alongside them. Jacam Catalyst, which manufactures and services oil field chemicals, has just completed the latest expansion of its corporate headquarters in Gardendale. The expansion added 18,000 square feet of operating facilities, including 16 offices, a large conference room, and 5,000 square feet of additional office space, enabling the company to accelerate distribution fleet operations. Earlier this year, the company announced plans to add 16 acres and the 18,000 square foot addition to its corporate campus, bringing the total to 65 acres and 90,000 square feet of operation facilities. Quote, it's always nice to know a local company is doubling down, end quote, said Vern Disney, president of U.S. Production Chemicals at Jacam. In an interview with the Reporter Telegram, Disney predicted the campus will expand another 15,000 to 20,000 square feet in the next 6 to 12 months. Disney said the company has over 620 employees in the Permian Basin, largely in Midland and Odessa. Jacam has grown over 10% over the last 3 to 4 years, and he said there is no doubt it will grow at least another 10%. That means the company will be creating between 50 and 75 jobs over the next year. Quote, the biggest challenge has been the people, end quote, he said. Quote, we have a lot of employees, and a lot of references come from employees. But with our growth rate, we will search for new employees. The challenge is filling roles. People are a challenge, but not limiting, end quote. He said one way to find employees is visiting area colleges to try to get students interested in what the company does, why it does what it does, and why they should want to work for Jacob. Despite the fall in drilling activity, Disney said the company's customers are drilling big wells that bring in lots of production per well. But they also experience problems such as corrosion, scaling, and takeaway issues. Quote, we're treating more fluids than even a year ago, end quote, he said. The company treats sour oil, gas, and water, and he noted there is limited capacity for midstream companies to take sour oil or gas because it has to be pre-treated before it's sent to the pipeline. The new addition helps with flow and management of its ever-increasing fleet size. Disney said the company is very thoughtful in its fleet planning, ordering new trucks a year in advance. Jacob also has relationships with local fabrication shops that can modify the trucks to meet the company's needs. The chemicals market is a very competitive space, but Disney proudly noted that Jacob Catalyst has received the highest customer loyalty ranking for companies in the U.S. land market in the Kimberlite survey for a fifth year in a row. Permian Safety Network highlights Stop the Hurt campaign. Keeping oil industry workers and seeing that they return home after work in the same condition as when they left home is the driving mission of the Permian Basin Service, Transmission, Exploration, and Production Safety Network. That mission was highlighted at the organization's monthly meeting this week, with a focus on its Stop the Hurt campaign. The campaign is designed to remind workers they have stop work authority, end quote, to stop what they see as a dangerous situation. According to the most recent statistic available to her, Lindsay Ramirez, vice president of the organization and product sales manager at American Safety Services, said 75 people would have been impacted if that authority had not been utilized. Quote, if you see something, say something. Don't be afraid to use that stop work authority, end quote, she told the gathering. To simplify the process, STEPS advises using the SAFER system. Stop work. If the danger is imminent, if danger is not imminent, report the hazard to a supervisor, making clear it's a SWA request. Assess the situation. Stop work activities and make the area as safe as possible by recognizing hazards, removing workers, reporting the incident, and stabilizing the situation. File a report. File an official SWA form for a record of what actions were taken to mitigate the hazard to prevent future injuries. Eradicate the hazard. Correct the unsafe conditions, hazards, or behaviors according to plans outlined in the SWA plan, and have qualified professionals inspect the work areas affected to ensure all hazards have been resolved. Resume. Once the hazards have been recorded, removed, or corrected, inspected, and workers educated on actions taken, then resume work. Ramirez told the audience her safety advocacy began when she and her husband were living in San Antonio and he worked in the Eagle Ford. A drunk driver hit his vehicle, which also contained a coworker, and two Border Patrol cars on Interstate 35 and kept going. Quote, that changed me, seeing miles and miles of wreckage, end quote, as she went to the scene, she said. Luckily, her husband walked away from the incident, but, quote, one stupid decision affected so many people, end quote. She added that improved safety also stems from better relations with coworkers. Quote, if you don't know the name of your coworkers' kids or their spouse, that's a problem, end quote, she said. Quote, talk to your coworkers, end quote. STEPS members are urged to share their stop work reports. Every 6 months, the Permian Basin chapter will award monetary prizes to 3 employees for stopping work that could have injured or caused deaths. Permian production poised to pop even as prices fall. West Texas intermediate prices have crumbled in recent weeks, but pipelines can anticipate new business with the startup of the Matterhorn Express pipeline. According to a regional supply forecast from East Daily Analytics, opening of the Matterhorn Express will allow Permian oil production to grow alongside natural gas in the fourth quarter. Matterhorn will add 2.5 billion cubic feet of capacity carrying natural gas from the Permian to Katy, and East Daily has long predicted Permian production growth in the fourth quarter will be tied up to the new pipeline. East Daily's latest production model forecasts crude oil to grow 2.3% in the fourth quarter, adding 144,000 barrels a day of new supply. October will mark the first month that Permian oil production exceeds the recent high of 6.1 million barrels per day set in December 2023. On the gas side, East Daily expects Permian production to exit 2024 about 7% higher, for a gain of 1.73 BCF per day from the beginning to the end of the year. Quote, the quote, the Permian Basin has historically been a crude-driven basin, although this is changing with the ramp-up of natural gas liquids, NGLs, and liquefied natural gas, LNGs, end quote. Christy Olasek, Director of Energy Analytics at East Daily, told the Reporter Telegram. Looking ahead to 2025, East Daily forecasts Permian oil production will grow 8.7%, or about 533,000 barrels per day on average, from 2024 in the latest model. The growth leads to higher utilization rates for crude oil pipelines exiting the basin. Oil pipeline egress grows from about 75% utilized in 2023 to 79% and 83% utilization in 2024 and 2025, according to East Daily's Crude Hub model. East Daily analysts caution that the fall in oil prices should temper production growth, and that should show up when the firm runs forecast updates later this month. Quote, East Daily expects the single commodity-focused producers to maintain a more tempered drilling schedule rather than the pop we were initially expecting once gas constraints were released as Matterhorn comes online. The larger publics that have a cross-commodity exposure will not be as impacted by WTI's recent volatility. These companies tend to a longer-term strategy to weather the ebbs and flows of WTI, whereas the smaller single commodity-focused producers have a greater exposure to the volatility, end quote, she explained. Routes to Corpus Christi export terminals continue to see the highest utilization, rising from 88% in 2023 to 93% in 2025. By mid-year 2025, Houston and Nederland export ports catch up to Corpus Christi as Enterprise Products, Midland to Echo Pipelines, and Energy Transfer's Permian Express to Nederland reach 93% utilization. Olasek noted that the recent volatility seen in WTI prices has been enhanced as a result of this tightness, as the markets have difficulty absorbing any small disruption. That high utilization will continue as Enbridge plans to increase its Gray Oak volumes by 120,000 barrels per day to 1.02 million barrels per day, and Enterprise Products returns its Midland to Echo 2 pipeline to crude oil service in the second quarter of 2025, adding another 200,000 barrels of space. Quote, East Daily believes any additional crude infrastructure will continue being evaluated until further decisions are made on the exposed offshore export terminals. Volatility in the crude oil markets will only be enhanced as Permian Basin egress continues to tighten, end quote, Olasek wrote. Community. Pat Green sets September 27th concert at the Tailgate. Saddle up, Texas music fans. Pat Green performs live at the Tailgate in Midland on September 27th. While gaining national acclaim, the Texas native climbed the charts in the early 2000s with songs such as Wave on Wave, leading the Texas musician to 3 Grammy nominations and a consistent presence on the Billboard country charts. A portion of Green's website reads, "Born in San Antonio, Green's music is deeply rooted in Texas culture. With two decades of music and the recent release of Elvis in Memphis, the local native will make one West Texas stop to perform before heading to Bandera and then Fort Worth. In addition to making his mark on the Texas music scene, Green is also a dedicated philanthropist. Through the Pat Green Foundation, he actively supports music education and advocates for, quote, underdog, end quote, charities. Green will take the stage on Friday, September 27th at 6 p.m. Tickets to the show are now on sale. General admission prices are $30 per ticket, but will jump to $40 the day of the show. Tables are also available for bigger groups. The tables seat 6 to 8 people, and prices vary from $800 to $850. The venue is located at 4401 North Big Spring Street in Midland, Texas. Visit the Tailgate website for additional information or to purchase tickets before the show. Single mother returns to college after 11 years. After being out of school for 11 years, single mother Mariah Whitley decided to start Midland College's paralegal program when she was 29 years old. Quote, my father passed away 2 days before my 17th birthday, right before my senior year, and I had a difficult time dealing with his death, end quote. Whitley explained, quote, I graduated from Midland High School in May of 2011 and started taking classes at Midland College the next fall, but I wasn't very motivated. In fact, I dropped out before the end of the semester. Then in 2012, I became pregnant and had my son, David. After that, I didn't have much time for school. I had an infant and needed to work to support our family, end quote. In 2018, Whitley began working at Endeavor Energy Resources, assuming various roles in the coding department. Then, 2 years ago, she was promoted to contracts administrator in Endeavor's legal department. Quote, I was looking for other opportunities at Endeavor because I wanted to move up the career ladder, end quote, Whitley said. Quote, however, I think that not having any education beyond high school hurt my chances of being considered for other positions. Then, in the spring of 2022, Angie Bramley, the legal operations manager, approached me and offered me the position as contracts administrator. Angie is a phenomenal mentor, and she is actually one of the people who encouraged me to enroll in MC's paralegal program, end quote. The other person who was instrumental in Whitley's decision to return to school was her mother. Quote, I had a wonderful role model, end quote, Whitley said. Quote, my mother returned to school when she was in her 40s in order to pursue Bachelor of Business Administration and Master of Public Accountancy degrees. She told me that experience is important, but a degree means a lot, end quote. Whitley is among a fast-growing group of adults who are going back to college in the modern world in order to pursue their academic and professional goals. According to Indeed.com, quote, being older than the traditional college-age student has special benefits of maturity and life experiences, which helps people become more driven in their academic endeavors, end quote. Whitley admitted that most of her fellow paralegal students are focused on getting jobs with law firms. While she said she wouldn't rule out ever working for a law firm, right now she is really enjoying corporate law. As Endeavor's contracts administrator, she facilitates contract reviews and oversees contracts from inception to termination. Quote, when people think of a paralegal, they are most likely envisioning someone working at a law firm taking on important behind-the-scenes legal legwork and support activities for attorneys, end quote, she said. Quote, while picturing that setting is a fair assumption, it does overlook one substantial source of paralegal employment, the corporate world. Paralegals assist an organization's in-house legal and compliance teams on legal issues related to business interests, end quote. Since January 2023, Whitley has been taking MC's online paralegal program, and she said that because of her college courses, she now has the opportunity to investigate financial filings, draft letter responses, and demand letters and work with senior counsel on corporate transactions. She also helps with litigation matters, ensuring that details and documents are collected before going to counsel. Whitley, along with the other three support staff in Endeavor's legal department, handles not only administrative tasks such as circulating material, maintaining meeting minutes, and keeping detailed legal records, but also non-administrative duties that include legal research, interviewing, and drafting documents. Quote, I am very thankful for this experience I've had up to this point, end quote, she said. Quote, I am also very fortunate to have been able to take advantage of Endeavor's tuition reimbursement program, end quote. Whitley successfully transitioned to Diamondback Energy after its recent merger with Endeavor. Besides being a hard worker and willing to learn, one of Whitley's many assets that she brings to her job is her skill in technology, which she credits to her father, who built computers. She is also a self-proclaimed, quote, nerd, end quote, when it comes to technology, and said that one of her favorite pastimes is playing video games with her son. The two of them also have a long-standing tradition of opening new Pokemon card packs together. Up to this point, Whitley was taking three courses each semester and maintained a perfect 4.0 GPA while working full-time and having the many responsibilities of being a single mother. This semester, she transitioned to taking a full course load, four courses per semester. She is on track to receive a legal technician certificate in December and graduate with an Associate of Applied Science degree in May 2025. She said that she doesn't plan to stop there. One of her long-term goals is to continue her higher education and pursue a bachelor's degree from the University of Texas Permian Basin in computer science, political science, or business administration.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram's oil report for Saturday, September 14th. Apache divests $950 million in Permian properties. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Ending weeks of speculation, APA Corporation, parent of Apache Corporation, this week agreed to sell non-core Permian properties to an undisclosed buyer for $950 million. The producing properties are located in the Central Basin Platform, Texas, and New Mexico Shelf and Northwest Shelf, and currently represent estimated net production of 21,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, of which approximately 57% is oil. Proceeds from the sale will be used primarily to reduce debt. The deal is expected to close in the fourth quarter. Quote, we actively manage our portfolio. You've seen us do multiple deals recently, including the Callon acquisition this year, and targeted divestments of non-core properties, a spokesperson for Apache told the Reporter Telegram by email. They added, quote, we remain committed to oil and gas and seek a diversified and balanced portfolio with scale, end quote. Quote, through multiple transactions completed this year, we have high-graded and focused our U.S. asset base. Our remaining Permian position has scale and balance in the unconventional Midland and Delaware basins, said John J. Christman IV, Chief Executive Officer of APA Corporation, in announcing the agreement. Quote, the net impact of our acquisition with Callon Petroleum and the follow-on asset sales is that APA has increased its onshore U.S. production by approximately 66,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day in 2024 and continue to add economic unconventional inventory with no material change in net debt levels compared to year-end 2023, end quote. Pro forma fourth quarter U.S. production guidance is 307,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, which is 34% above the company's fourth quarter 2023 production, the company said. Crispin continued, quote, the company's more focused unconventional Permian asset base and advantageous transport and marketing positions compares favorably with like-sized pure-play peers in the region, while APA's conventional global portfolio also provides geologic, geographic, and price diversification, as well as differential exploration upside, end quote. JCAM Catalyst expands headquarters in Gardendale. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Oil and natural gas production in the Permian Basin continues to climb, and a number of service providers are growing alongside them. JCAM Catalyst, which manufactures and services oil-filled chemicals, has just completed the latest expansion of its corporate headquarters in Gardendale. The expansion added 18,000 square feet of operating facilities, including 16 offices, a large conference room, and 5,000 square feet of additional office space, enabling the company to accelerate distribution fleet operations. Earlier this year, the company announced plans to add 16 acres and the 18,000 square foot addition to its corporate campus, bringing the total to 65 acres and 90,000 square feet of operation facilities. Quote, "It's always nice to know a local company is doubling down," said Vern Disney, president of U.S. Production Chemicals at JCAM. In an interview with the Reporter Telegram, Disney predicted the campus will expand another 15,000 to 20,000 square feet in the next 6 to 12 months. Disney said the company has over 620 employees in the Permian Basin, largely in Midland and Odessa. JCAM has grown over 10% over the last 3 to 4 years, and he said there is no doubt it will grow at least another 10%. That means the company will be creating between 50 and 75 jobs over the next year. Quote, "The biggest challenge has been the people," he said. "We have a lot of employees, and a lot of references come from employees. But with our growth rate, we still search for new employees. The challenge is filling roles. People are a challenge, but not limiting," end quote. He said one way to find employees is visiting area colleges to try to get students interested in what the company does, why it does what it does, and why they should want to work for JCAM. Despite the fall in drilling activity, Disney said the company's customers are drilling big wells that bring in lots of production per well. But they also experience problems such as corrosion, scaling, and takeaway issues. Quote, "We're treating more fluids than even a year ago," he said. The company treats sour oil, gas, and water, and he noted there's limited capacity for midstream companies to take sour oil or gas because it has to be pre-treated before it's sent to the pipeline. The new addition helps with flow and management over its ever-increasing fleet size. Disney said the company is very thoughtful in its fleet planning, ordering new trucks a year in advance. JCAM also has relationships with local fabrication shops that can modify the trucks to meet the company's needs. The chemicals market is a very competitive space, but Disney proudly noted that JCAM Catalyst has received the highest customer loyalty ranking for companies in the U.S. land market in the Kimberlite survey for a fifth year in a row.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.